So today at the 10:30 service, we are going to celebrate two baptisms, which is very exciting. And we'll have all the children gathered here to be a part of that. And so I intend my homily to be primarily for the children. And in part, that's because many times adults come up to me after a service and say, you know, the children's sermon really spoke to me. Right, the other one? So I thought, well, that's the one we'll use. And so that's what I plan to do during this service, but we are bereft of children. And so that means I need your help, because children's sermons are primarily interactive. So I'm going to ask you questions instead. And I'm going to begin by asking you, when you're hungry, what do you like to eat? Food, okay. There's one of those in every crowd of children. What kind of food?
Candy.
Candy.
Fruit.
Yes.
Steaks.
Sandwiches, steak.
Ice cream.
Vegetables. Oh, I was going to say there's some sweet tooths here. And when you eat the steak or vegetables or ice cream or candy, where do you usually eat it?
At the table.
At the table? What table?
The kitchen
table. At home. Anybody eat out for most of their meals?
No.
No, okay. At the kitchen table. At home. Maybe the dining table. And so then, when you want to eat, you tend to get something at home and eat it at the table. So when you come to church, do you come to church primarily in order to eat?
At the table.
Somebody knows where I'm going. There's one of those in their crowd of children too. Absolutely, right? We don't come to church primarily to eat a meal the way we do other meals. And yet, most of the time when we come to church, we do so in order to gather around the table, the altar, in order to share a meal that consists of bread and wine. Right? That's probably the most important thing we do as a church. That's our purpose as a church, to celebrate this rite and to come into God's presence. Now, when you come to this table and you eat of the bread and wine, does that fill your tummy? Do you say, ah, I'm done for the rest of the day. I don't need to eat. I'm stuffed. Anybody? No, not so much. That's not the purpose of this table, is it? Right? We do that at home sometimes. We do that at Thanksgiving dinner, maybe. But this table is not for that kind of thing. The purpose of this meal is not to fill your tummy. It's a different kind of meal. Right? It's a meal that's meant to fill your soul. And so when we eat this meal, and it's so strange and different from our other meals, that's on purpose. Right? It's meant to help us recognize that there's something different going on here, and to spend some time learning and coming to understand what's different and why this means something different to us. And that's something we do over the course of our whole lives. Now, there's another important practice that we do at home and at church. And so I need an honest answer here. Who here likes to take a bath or a shower regularly? Make sure everybody raises their hand. Okay. Right? Most of us do. And what's the purpose of a bath?
Cleansing.
They're cleaning our body. Right? Absolutely. And so this weekend, in a couple hours here at church, right in this very room, two people are going to take a bath at church. What a picture, right? Can you imagine? But that's what we're doing. We're going to celebrate holy baptism, which is another way of saying a holy bath. And so we're going to celebrate a holy bath here at church. Now, in the earliest church, this holy bath called baptism often involved lots of water. And a person would be immersed completely under the water, and they would be buried in the water like they had died. And then they would rise to new life. And there was this beautiful symbolism with all that water. In a variety of churches, there are a variety of different kinds of baptismal fonts. And some of them use a lot of water, and some of them, like ours, use just a little bit of water. Because the purpose of baptism is not primarily to clean the body, but to cleanse the soul, right? And so, like the Holy Eucharist, it's a bath, but it's a different kind of bath. Now, our first reading from the book of Revelation was a vision of what it's going to look like in heaven. Right? What heaven looks like. And let me refresh your memory here with just a little bit of it. One sentence. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. So in heaven, this vision of heaven, there are people there from all over the world. Every kind of person is there, from every tribe and language and people and nation. And what do they all have in common?
Faith.
Absolutely. What did we hear in this scripture passage that they all had in common? Man, it's like pop quiz, look at that. All these people were gathered around the throne and they were robed in white. Right? People from around the world were robed in white. And when it says they're robed in white, what it's talking about is their baptism. Right? It was all the people from around the world and they had all been baptized. Right? That's the thing that kind of bonds them together, unifies them. And so when you see people serving in liturgy wearing these white clothes, these are symbols of our baptism. And not just of the baptism of those who happen to be serving today, but all of our baptisms. Right? These clothes mean that those of us who are wearing them are representing all of us, the entire congregation. Right? This is you at the altar as well. And so these white robes that we wear are from this passage, right? This remembrance of our baptism. So there's one last thing I want to point out. And that is when we receive Holy Communion, when we take a holy bath, we do these things not in order to make God love us. Right? They don't change God's opinion about us. God loves all of us. God loves you. And God loves you. And God loves you. We take a bath at church in order to symbolize, to proclaim, to confess our recognition of God's love for us. Right? Our baptism is an acknowledgement of God's love for us. It is a response to God's love for us. It's like when someone hugs you. Right? If you're in a bad mood, you might not be inclined to hug them back. But that doesn't make them love you any less. They still love you. That's why they hug you. But it sure is nice when you get a hug in response, isn't it? That's what we were doing when we were baptized. When we celebrate Holy Communion, we are responding to God's love for us. We are acknowledging it and confessing it. So today, at our 10:30 service, our primary teachers, proclaimers of the word, evangelists, are going to be Gwendolyn and Gianna. And they will be our teachers reminding us of our own baptisms, reminding us of our own confession of God's love for us. And so today is an opportunity, whether you remember it or not, to remember your baptism. Because your baptism is something that can never be taken away. It was given to you. It is permanent. You can forget about it. You can ignore it. But it doesn't go away. Just like God's love for you will never go away. So at this point, in the next service, we're going to invite Gwen and Gianna to come forward and begin our baptismal rite. And for us, instead, we're going to skip forward to page 5 in your worship bulletin. And we're going to renew our own baptismal covenants.